Chapter 8. Julian was still scratching multiplication tables into the dirt with a stick, which Cooper was still failing to comprehend at all, when Dave returned from his prayers.
Guys,
said Dave, approaching cautiously with his hands behind his back.
What's wrong?
Asked Cooper. Did you heal your arm? Asked Julian.
Yeah, said Dave tentatively.
Well done,
said Cooper.
How many healing spells did you use up?
It just took one.
Nice roll.
Thanks.
What's going on, Dave? Asked Julian. What's wrong?
For fuck's sake,
said Cooper.
Spit it out.
Dave lowered his head and held out his right arm. For a moment, the three of them stood there in silence. Then Cooper broke into laughter. He laughed so hard that he started coughing. He horked up a big gob of phlegm, spit it on the ground, and laughed some more. Julian still didn't see what the problem was. And then it hit him.
Holy shit,
he said, barely above a whisper. The leopard skin armband that Cooper had stretched over Dave's wounds wasn't an armband anymore. It was now a part of Dave's arm.
How did,
Julian said,
what did...
He reached out to touch Dave's furry forearm.
Hey, said Dave, jerking his arm away. Knock it off.
What happened?
My best guess is that the healing magic didn't differentiate between my skin and the leopard skin. Like Cooper said, it's skin, ain't it?
How does it feel? Asked Julian.
Furry.
That's too fucking awesome,
said Cooper.
But you're okay?
Asked Julian.
I guess so. How's Tim?
Cooper stopped laughing.
It's hard to tell. He was down quite a few hit points about half an hour ago.
You think the guards roughed him up again?
No. He lost real hit points this time.
A look of panic overtook Dave's face. Cooper raised a hand to calm him.
Don't worry. Whatever happened, he came through in the end. Little fucker leveled up.
Seriously? Dave grinned.
Yeah,
said Cooper.
I figure he had a scrap with one of the other guys in the prison yard or something.
Prison yard? Said Dave. Did you see the size of that town? I don't think he's in San Quentin.
Whatever,
said Cooper.
Hey, guys,
said Julian excitedly. Dave and Cooper turned around to look at him. He was holding a character sheet.
Tim's back up a full 15 hit points. What the hell is he doing in there?
Asked Dave.
Maybe a cellmate is a cleric,
offered Cooper,
and Tim's been doing him favors.
In case anyone missed the implication, he rolled his fingers into a tube and made an in-and-out gesture near his mouth. Dave and Julian looked at him disapprovingly.
We better get going, said Dave. It's still early enough so that there shouldn't be too much traffic on the road. We might get lucky and find an isolated wagon. Is everybody still cool with that plan?
It's the only reasonable one that's been proposed, said Julian. They both looked at Cooper.
I'm still convinced there's a solid strategy to be made involving burning the shit out of the town. But as I currently lack the mental resources to formulate such a plan, I will accept yours as a lesser alternative.
That's very big of you, said Dave.
Julian let out a loud whistle and shouted,
Ravenous!
Oh,
moaned Cooper.
Don't call that thing back here.
I'm going to send him out to scout for a good target.
Cooper grimaced, but Dave nodded approvingly.
Good idea, he said.
After only a few seconds, Ravenous flapped through the trees and onto Julian's shoulder.
You called, sir?
Julian removed the bird from his shoulder and set him down on a low-hanging branch of a nearby tree.
Anything to report?
There's a troll about 100 yards that way.
He jerked his head to the side to indicate a direction deeper into the forest.
Shouldn't be much bother to you guys if you don't go near him. He's eating a deer.
What's your new friend saying?
Asked Cooper in a mocking tone.
There's a troll 100 yards that way, eating a deer. I wish we'd encountered the deer rather than the leopard, said Dave.
At least we didn't encounter the troll,
said Cooper.
Maybe we should, said Julian.
Why would we want to do that?
Asked Cooper.
A troll would rip us to pieces.
What if we took it by surprise? Pressed Julian. We could probably all be better off at level 2 when we try to rescue Tim. It's just one little troll against the three of us.
Cooper looked at Julian with a puzzled expression.
What exactly do you think a troll is?
I don't know, Julian admitted. I mean, I guess it's not like one of those toys you put on the back of your pencil. You know, the ones with the crazy colorful hair.
Yeah,
said Goober.
I know the ones. And yeah, they aren't anything like that.
What about the one in Three Billy Goats Gruff?
The one that got killed by a goat?
That's the one.
No,
said Cooper.
The thing over there would have nothing to fear from a goat.
But if...
Not even a really big one.
Oh.
It's bigger than any of us. It could rip us limb from fucking limb, and it will regenerate hit points faster than we can dish them out.
It must have some kind of weakness, said Julian.
Fire,
said Cooper.
Maybe electricity, but I don't remember. Listen, I'll be happy to discuss all the reasons why we should leave here right now while we are leaving.
Fine, said Julian. He returned to his familiar. Ravenous, see if you can spot a good target for ambush on the road. Said Ravenous, lowering his head. Julian sensed the moral quandary in his friend's voice. We're not going to hurt anyone, he said. We just need a means of transportation through the city gates without being seen. Ravenous's beady black eyes lit up.
Ah! He said with an air of relief. In that case, I'll get right on it.
Should we leave our camp set up here? Julian asked Cooper.
Not if you want to keep any of it,
said Cooper, already taking down his poor excuse for a shelter.
If there are trolls around here, they'll rip all this to pieces.
As they were finishing up the last of their packing, Ravenous flew down into the camp.
I've spotted a worthy target, Master Julian, but you'll have to hurry. He's coming just up the bend now.
Ravenous says there's a wagon coming, but we'll have to hurry to catch it.
Sure he does,
said Cooper. What if it's true? Asked Julian. Will you believe me if there really is a wagon out there? Dave laughed.
That's supposed to be proof enough for us to believe your stupid bird can talk to you? He successfully predicted that we would find a wagon traveling on a road.
Screw you guys, Julian said, and then stomped off after Ravenous.
When are you going to tell him that you believe him?
Dave asked Cooper.
Give us some time,
Cooper said.
This is more fun.
Why can't we understand him?
Dunno. Maybe only a wizard can understand his familiar.
I can totally hear you guys, Julian called back at them.
Shit, said Dave.
Goddamn elf ears,
said Cooper. Ravenous led the party to a part of the forest that nearly reached the road. A small four-wheeled cart trudged up the road toward Algor, led by a mule. Whatever cargo it carried was concealed by a dirty, ragged cloth. The driver was a stout man wearing a sombrero. He stared blankly at the road ahead, letting puffs of white smoke trail behind him, like the world's smallest steam engine.
Check it out,
Cooper whispered from his hiding place, crouched behind a tree.
He's smoking.
So what?
Asked Dave.
So that means the cigarettes are available somewhere around here.
Oh, right.
Julian scratched his head.
He doesn't look too worried about the fact that he's traveling alone.
So?
Asked Dave again.
So why is that? Is it because he's so much of a badass that he's confident that he can handle any threat that comes his way?
Good point, said Dave. He doesn't look like much of a badass.
Fuck it,
said Cooper.
I'll go ask him.
He jumped up out of his hiding place, roared a battle roar, and brandished his great axe above his head.
Shit,
said Dave. He and Julian looked at one another, shrugged, and ran out after Cooper, roaring significantly weaker battle cries.
Holy fucking shit!
Said the cart's driver. He fumbled around in his belt until he found a small bag. He hurriedly tossed it at Cooper, hitting him in the face. Cooper screamed. His eyes boiled with fury as he swung his axe around his head, preparing to bring it down and add another head to his collection.
Cooper, stop!
Julian and Dave were both shouting.
Huh?
Said Cooper. He lowered his axe. The driver swallowed hard.
What were you thinking? We aren't supposed to kill the driver.
He attacked me.
Dave picked up the bag that had hit Cooper in the face. Inside, he found about 36 copper coins.
He attacked you?
Why don't I throw a sack of coins at your face and see if it hurts?
Don't be such a baby.
Fuck you.
Dave looked at Julian and jerked his head back towards the driver.
You're on, dude.
The driver was petrified with fear, but still looked happy to be alive. He continued to stare in terror when Julian flashed a smile at him.
We're really very sorry, said Julian.
He took the money pouch out of Dave's hand and held it up to the driver.
I think you dropped this.
Slowly, he reached out his hand to accept what was being handed to him.
If you don't want my money,
he said shakily,
and you don't want to kill me, then why do you attack me?
Julian held up an arm, and Ravenous flew down to rest on it. The driver looked mildly impressed. More importantly, he looked a little calmer. Julian was finding he really had a knack for this diplomacy thing.
It's neither you nor your money we're after, he said. We need to borrow your cart.
Why do you need to borrow my cart?
Asked the driver. His voice was steady and curious.
It is a piece of shit.
What is the cargo that you seek to bring into Algor?
More shit,
said the driver simply.
I'm sorry?
See for yourself.
The driver pulled back the cloth and revealed the cart to be full of manure right up to the top. Dave, Cooper, and Julian looked back and forth at one another, each waiting for the others to come up with a reasonable alternative to burying themselves in shit. Julian spoke first.
You'll probably want to grab some of that bamboo, he said,
pointing over to a patch of bamboo growing nearby,
if you want to breathe.
Dave looked from Julian to Cooper.
You can't really expect us to.
Tim's in trouble,
Cooper said.
Wherever they've got him locked up, he's having to fight. He's made it up till now, but who knows how much of that was blind luck. He won't hold out forever in there.
He trudged over to the bamboo patch and tore off three straws, each about a foot in length.
What's your name? Julian asked the driver.
Miguel.
What do you say, Miguel? If you want your cart back when we're done, you're welcome to come along.
If it's all the same to you, good people, said Miguel, I think I'll just catch up with you on foot. Algor is not a big place. I'm sure I'll find my cart.
No way,
growled Cooper.
The little guy comes with us. We can't have him alerting the authorities to our presence before we're ready to make our move.
That's right, said Dave. Anyway, my misery could use a little more company.
Miguel looked to Julian for a way out.
Said Julian. Maybe I should wear your hat and... What's that thing called?
It's a serape.
And your serape until this is done. It'll be nice to have something clean to wear.
Thank you, sir,
said Miguel, handing over the hat and serape. Dave nudged Cooper and whispered,
Did that guy just thank Julian for stealing his clothes and making him bury himself in shit?
Cooper shrugged.
Good diplomacy check.
What do you think?
Asked Julian after donning the hat and serape. He held his hands out as if he had a pistol in each one.
Not bad, said Dave.
It's a good look for you,
said Cooper.
How much do you want for this?
Julian asked Miguel.
I'm sorry?
I like how this looks on me, Julian explained. I'd like to buy it from you.
You want to buy my clothes?
That's right. Name your price.
One piece of silver would be sufficient, said Miguel.
Fuck that, said Julian.
I humbly beg your pardon, sir. I didn't mean...
How much money do we have?
Julian asked Dave, who was holding the party's money. Dave looked into the money pouch.
About 6 gold pieces. We've got some silver, too. Give this guy a gold piece. He's really being a good sport about all this.
Dave looked at Cooper. Cooper shrugged.
It's CNC,
he said.
How hard is gold to come by?
Dave flicked a gold coin to Julian, who flicked it to Miguel. Miguel caught the coin with both of his hands and looked at it. His eyes went wide and a little bit watery.
May the gods smile down upon you, sir,
he said, attempting to remove his hat and then remembering he was no longer wearing one.
This will feed my family for a...
Don't sweat it, dude, said Julian. Do you know where the prison is in there?
Prison?
Jail, correctional facility, a penitentiary, a place where they put the bad people?
Dungeon?
Sure.
There's a small dungeon under the Lord's mansion, said Miguel.
Hey, guys, said Julian. I think I'm going to have Miguel ride up here with me. He seems to know his way around.
Cooper just snorted his disapproval. Dave spoke his.
I don't think that's a good...
If it's all the same to you, sir, Miguel spoke up, I think I'll ride in the shit.
Julian gave him a dejected look.
I don't know what you've got planned, explained Miguel, and I don't want to know, but after all is said and done, I'd like to ride away with my mule and cart full of shit without anyone knowing that I was a part of it.
Julian shrugged.
That's fair enough.
He would have really liked to have had someone up there with him when he spoke to the guards at the gate, though. In truth, he kind of envied his friends who would be hiding safely in a cart, buried in shit. Cooper passed out the length of bamboo and was the first to climb into the cart. The manure was dry and crumbly on top, but grew wetter, squishier, and warmer the further in he burrowed.
Not so bad once you're in,
he said, grinning. He put his own bamboo straw into his mouth, closed his eyes, and ducked his head under.
Not so bad for him, said Dave. He's used to smelling like shit.
He turned to Miguel.
After you.
Miguel shrugged. He tucked his gold coin into a pocket, put the bamboo in his mouth, and burrowed in next to Cooper. Dave looked at Julian.
Good luck, dude. This should be a piece of piss for you. If you run into any trouble, just pull our straws.
He buried himself on the other side of Miguel. Julian climbed up to the head of the cart and covered the contents as best he could, leaving a little room on his end for the three straws to poke out. Ravenous perched on the edge of the cart next to him. He tugged on the reins.
Go mule, he said.
The mule didn't move. He turned to Ravenous.
I don't suppose you know anything about mules, do you?
Ravenous shook his head and raised his wings in a shrug.
You mind going in and giving him a peck on the ass?
Not at all,
said Ravenous, and flew down to land on the mule. The mule made an ineffective swipe at him with his tail, and Ravenous turned around and looked up at Julian. Julian nodded. Ravenous bent over and pecked the mule as hard as his beak would peck. The mule let out a whinny and started to walk. It was a 20-minute trek back to the town gates. Julian could make out one guard leaning against the wall as he approached.
Well, he said out of the corner of his mouth to Ravenous, here goes.
I have every confidence in you, sir.
The mule clopped along steadily to the entrance.
Good morning, said Julian enthusiastically.
The guard, who had barely bothered to glance to him up till now, offered back a narrow-eyed sneer as if to say that this morning was anything but good from his point of view. From the look of his bloodshot eyes, the previous night had been much better, at this morning's expense. The mule continued through the gate to no one's objection, which was for the best, as Julian wasn't sure how to make it stop. The town looked much smaller from the inside, and Julian could see all of it. If there was anything that was going to pass for a lord's mansion, it was the building directly in front of him. To his right were a saloon, a general store, a blacksmith's shop, and a stable. To his left were a cluster of buildings which were not immediately identifiable. Julian guessed that they had arrived during the window of time in the day, not far after all the previous night's drinking had been done, but just before the current day's drinking had begun. The streets were empty, except for one guard standing outside of what Julian had guessed to be the lord's mansion. He steered the cart around the side of the saloon and then behind it, hoping that this was not a conspicuous place to steer a cart full of shit, or, failing that, that the guard idly watching him was too hungover to give a damn. Having made it behind the saloon, out of sight as far as he could tell from any eyes, he steered the mule directly toward the back of the building, trusting it to have the presence of mind to stop before ramming the wall with its head. He plucked out the bamboo straws. Six arms floundered up through the surface of shit like a stop-motion film of plants sprouting out of the earth. They each dug frantically at their own faces. Cooper reached his face first and sucked in a breath of air. His subsequent exhalation carried the words,
"You fucking asshole!"
toward Julian. He stood up, grabbed one of Miguel's arms, lifted him out, and set him down on the ground. Then he grabbed both of Dave's arms and pulled him upright.
"You could have just knocked on the side or something."
Sorry, said Julian. I wanted to see what your reaction time would have been in a real emergency. Not very impressive, really.
Dave tumbled over the side of the cart and hit the ground hard. He lay on the ground panting. Miguel picked bits of shit off of himself and threw them back into the cart. Cooper spent a couple of seconds getting his breathing under control.
Anyway, good job getting us through.
Thanks, said Julian, a little uneasily. I feel different somehow. I don't know, it's hard to explain.
Dave sat up and caught his breath.
You're probably just relieved at having made it through a difficult and potentially dangerous situation. Give your heart a minute to calm down. You'll be all right.
No, said Julian. It's not that. This doesn't feel like when Melissa missed her period for a month. This is something else. It's a good feeling, I think.
Holy shit,
said Cooper.
I think I know what it is. Take a look at your character sheet.
Julian pulled the tube out of his bag and unrolled his sheet. He raised his eyebrows and looked at Dave and Cooper.
1,000 points on the nose.
So what are you now? Asked Dave. A second level wizard, or did you take a level in sorcerer?
Julian looked at the other side of his sheet.
Level one wizard, level one sorcerer, he said.
Sweet,
said Cooper.
I don't think you're going to regret that.
So I've got some more spells now, right? I can actually be of some use when we go in there?
Nah,
said Cooper.
You'll still be useless today. You've still got to study your spells for an hour.
Study them from what? Asked Julian. You said sorcerers don't use a book.
I don't know,
said Cooper.
Study them from your head or whatever.
Actually, said Dave, I played a sorcerer last summer. He only needs to spend 15 minutes concentrating on his spells.
Oh, yeah?
Asked Cooper.
We could probably put off this rescue another 15 minutes. Start concentrating.
On what?
I don't know. Look at your character sheet. What spells do you have?
In my spell book?
No,
said Cooper.
Those are wizard spells. Look for a list of sorcerer spells.
Okay, said Julian. I found it, but it's blank.
Holding the page in his hand, his thumb slipped, and he realized he was holding two sheets of paper. The second one had two lists of spells on it. One list was labeled zero level, and the other was labeled first level.
Hey, look at this, said Julian without looking up. It looks like I get to choose what I want. What do you think I should?
Looking up, he saw that everything around him was still. Cooper was staring at him, but at the same time not staring at him at all. It was more like he was staring through him. He got up to move, but Cooper's eyes didn't follow him. He looked over at Dave, who was frozen in conversation with Miguel. Even Ravenous was frozen in midair chasing after a dragonfly. Leaves hung in the air in mid-fall from their trees. Julian reached out to touch a single white fluff of dandelion. It was solid and immovable. Miguel's mule turned its head toward him.
Not this time, buddy, it said. You choose your own spells.
Mordred, Julian said accusingly.
That's right.
Why are you talking to this mule? Why not the head?
It's stuck in Cooper's bag. This is way easier.
So what do I have to do now?
Choose your spells, said the mule. You get 4 zero-level spells and 2 first-level spells. Choose wisely.
Julian looked at the zero-level spell list.
Most of these zero-level spells seem to suck.
That's why they're zero-level spells. If you use your imagination, some of them can be quite useful.
Is Detect Magic a good spell?
Maybe.
It's good enough. I'll take it. What about Read Magic?
You already know that one by heart because of your wizard level.
This is so fucking confusing. Light looks useful. I'll take that.
Okay, said the mule. 2 more.
Ooh, said Julian. Mage Hand looks cool. That's like telekinesis, isn't it?
A very limited form, yes.
I could see that being useful in a number of different circumstances.
Now you're getting the hang of it.
I should take 1 offensive spell. It's a choice between Acid Splash, Ray of Frost, and Disrupt Undead.
He read the descriptions of all 3.
The first 2 are weaker, but the 3rd is limited in its potential targets.
A conundrum, said the mule.
I'll take Disrupt Undead. I'll grab some more badass all-purpose spells later on.
Okay, said the mule. That's 0 level taken care of. What would you like for your 2 first-level spells?
I want that magic missile spell again.
Are you sure? You've already got it as a wizard.
But I can only cast it once per day, right?
That's right.
That sucks.
Yes, said the mule. I suppose it does. Okay, magic missile it is then. What would you like for the other one?
Julian looked over the list.
We'll probably need to make a speedy exit. The spell Mount, it summons a horse, right?
That's right.
If I used it more than once, could I summon horses for my friends?
The description of the spell says the horse serves you.
It would serve me well by carrying my friends.
A reasonable argument. Sure.
Then I'm done. Time started up again. Leaves completed their journeys to the ground. Ravenous caught the dragonfly and perched on a post. The dandelion fluff blew away on the breeze.
What the fuck?
Said Cooper.
Julian?
Oh, hey, said Julian. Sorry, I'm over here.
Did you just cast a blink spell?
No, said Julian. I didn't see it on the list.
That's because it's a third level spell,
said Cooper.
What just happened?
Mordred happened, said Julian. He stopped time so you guys couldn't help me choose my spells.
What an asshole,
said Cooper.
So what did you choose?
Julian showed him the list.
Mount? As in, what I did your mom last night?
It summons a horse, said Julian. I thought it might come in handy if we find Tim and need to get our asses out of here in a hurry. I can summon four horses if I don't use any of their first level spells.
Hmm,
said Cooper.
Good thinking. That might come in handy after all.